are going to talk about the controversy over a book about a transgender girl in the Mount Horeb School District during this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will have three different takes, three different guests with different perspectives talking about the I Am Jazz controversy. But first, Bill Martens joins me because this is the first day of the year-end membership drive here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Your financial support is the foundation for all the great discussions that you enjoy on the Ideas Network every single day. So make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And happy pledge, everybody. Our goal this hour is 10 pledges. 10 pledges. You give to WPR to support radio you rely on, and your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 gets us one step closer to meeting the goal and one step closer to funding the programs you count on.
There really isn't anywhere else that you are going to get a conversation about an important issue happening in the state of Wisconsin this early in the morning. Here on the Ideas Network, we look for the very best guests. We show up, you show up, and we have a lively, informative conversation every single morning.
That's what we do. Because you love these 6 a.m. conversations, make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support is key to making these discussions available to you and to everyone.
It is the season of giving, and you can do two good things at once when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio today. Your donation will help support this listener-supported service. It helps pay for the programs that you rely on, and you can ask for the Food for 20 thank you gift when you give $5 a month, or Food for 40 when you give $10 a month.
And these are always popular. These thank you gifts provide meals to people facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. It all starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio has enriched my life in so many ways. When I was a new mother back in the 1990s, and I became hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been an avid listener, and each day of my life is enriched because of the depth of the topics offered, the balanced dialogue that the hosts and the guests both offer. The Ideas Network makes me a better mother and a better citizen, and I'm so thankful for it.
And we are so thankful for your pledge. You can pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martens, asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during this year-end membership drive. You decide how much to give. Maybe your gift will be $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
You listen to WPR because you can count on information, entertainment, and great discussions. You make Wisconsin a better place just by listening and being a more well-rounded person.
You're a listener right now. How about taking the next step and becoming a member? Your first ever donation of perhaps $5 a month makes Wisconsin a place where great radio is available to everyone. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Again, 10 pledges is what we're after by 7 o'clock. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes a difference.
And remember, during this pledge drive, you have a chance to do two good things at once. You can ask for the Food for 20 a benefit when you give $5 a month, or the Food for 40 when you give $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Marilyn from Delavan, who says, my 30-year-old son got me listening, and now I'm hooked. Well, that's the other way around, isn't
it? Good boy. Yeah.
I love it. And Heather from Onalaska says, WPR keeps my day interesting while I'm out on the road. I love the programs, and I love to stay informed. Thank you so much to Heather and to Marilyn and to you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. After the threat of a lawsuit last week, the Mount Horeb School District canceled a planned reading of the book I Am Jazz, which tells the story of a young transgender girl. The group threatening to sue said reading such a book would violate parental rights to teach children moral values. In response, hundreds of people attended a public library reading of the book last week. We will talk with two guests for and against the reading of the book, and then later in the hour, we will talk with a psychiatrist about what it means to be transgender and how controversies like this might affect school children. And we welcome your questions and your views. Would you welcome the reading of a book about a young transgender girl in your school district? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our first guest is Brian Drookums. He is the Senior Director of Education and Policy for GSAFE, a Wisconsin organization that works to create safe schools for LGBT youth. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So first of all, tell us, what can you tell us about the book I Am Jazz?
Sure. So I Am Jazz is was actually co-written by both transgender young person, Jazz Jennings, as well as author Jessica Herthel, and it really just simply tells the story of Jazz, her coming to realize at a very early age that even though she was assigned male at birth, she deeply understood that she was a girl, and talked about her coming to the realization of that, how it made her feel not to be acknowledged as a girl, and really shows the journey of her and her family accepting her and coming out as Jazz. So it's a pretty wonderful book, and it's pretty simple. It's very age-appropriate, and it really the goal is just to help people better understand and learn how to respect transgender young people, whether it's in school or in the community.
So the Mount Horeb Primary School initially planned the reading to support gender variant students, specifically a 6-year-old transgender girl who had recently transitioned, who was attending the school. What would this reading have helped, or what would it have done?
Sure. Well, I mean, the goal of the reading is similar to the goal whenever a school reads a book to children about differences that exist in the community. What it does is, one, it provides a window for young people who might not be familiar with this particular difference, just to help them understand what it means, provide them with accurate information about gender diversity, and help them learn, you know, whether they agree with it or support it or not, or don't like it or not. It at least reaffirms for school children that the expectation of a school community is respectful behavior towards differences. And on the other hand, it provides a really critical mirror for young transgender children, both this wonderful six-year-old, who was her and her family was at the center of this particular issue, but it also provides a mirror for other students in the community who might not be out as transgender to really see themselves reflected in the school community. And we know that makes a difference for young people to actually see themselves reflected, because to not see yourself in school sends a message that you're not welcome, that you're not wanted, that you're not part of the community.
Then apparently, following a complaint from a parent, the Florida-based Freedom Council objected to the reading, saying it interfered with a parent's right to direct their children's moral educations. What's your reaction to that?
Right. So, and I've seen the letter, and I've heard this in other cases. And one thing I just want to really make clear is that being respectful of people is a moral value. So and we can get into discussions about morals. But, you know, being respectful of each other in the community is a moral value. Also recognizing that for our young transgender students, that it's not really about morality. It's about health and wellness. And what we know is that people are very much aware of their gender identity, sometimes at a very early age, even as young as 2 or 3. And that we know that if by the time they get to kindergarten, if they're already experiencing rejection and not being supported, they can actually be experiencing depression. They can already be experiencing suicidal ideation. So, you know, I think, you know, we need to get beyond a morality discussion and recognize this as a health and wellness issue. You know, and that having been said, you know, the letter that the school received, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but I've spoken with some lawyers who have dealt with letters, helped school districts deal with similar letters across the country. And what was made really clear to me is that, you know, there's a long series of case law that really affirms that parents don't have the right to dictate or veto curriculum just because they don't like the idea or don't want their kids to know something exists. They can obviously opt out if they feel something so strongly about it. You know, in this case, a parent could have chosen not to have their kid be in the room when the book was read. But they really can't force other families to opt out. This really is about creating a respectful environment, and this is just what a school would do if they had a student with a difference, is that they would find a way to talk about the issue in an age-appropriate way in the classroom.
I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Brian Jukums, who is Senior Director of Education and Policy with GSAFE, a Wisconsin organization that works to create safe schools for LGBT youth. He's only with us for a few minutes, as we will be talking with other guests on this issue as well. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have James on Facebook who says, Mount Horeb School District did the cowardly thing. Props to the Mount Horeb Public Library for holding a reading of the book. Brian, do you have how should the school have responded to this?
You know, I think it was a complex issue for the schools, and I think, you know, I think they were well on their way to supporting the student, and I actually know that they've been supportive of the student and her family. I think the letter that they received kind of caught them unaware and unsurprised, you know, by surprise. There's a lot of bluster in the letter and a lot of legal threats. So I think they did take a moment to, like, think, what could we do next or how do we move forward? I was actually just at the Mount Horeb School Board meeting last night where they affirmed that student and their family and actually passed supportive policy. And so it's, for me, it seems really clear that the school board wanted to take a few moments to figure out what's the best way forward. I know the actual staff at the school, at the primary center, have been wonderfully supportive. So I guess I would refrain from saying that they were cowardly. I would say that I think they got taken by surprise by that letter and wanted to move forward thoughtfully. But I think they've always been 100% behind that student and their family. And really, I mean, you know, when I think about it, like, for me, the real story about this this whole incident is that, you know, that a community really responded with overwhelming love and support and compassion when a first grader and her family were vulnerable and needed it, which is just amazing. I mean, I was at the library reading where about 600 people showed up to that reading. It was just amazing joy and really spoke to the values and the morals of that community of, you know, supporting a young person and supporting a family when they're in need. And I think it really raised the bar, not only for Wisconsin school districts that might get similar letters, but I think for all national, all communities in the country on how to respond.
Rose on Facebook, on the other hand, says, do kids really need to know about this kind of stuff? Shoot, I don't want to read about this either.
Right. Well, and I think what Rose isn't saying in her comment is that oftentimes when people are concerned about talking about gender diversity, they imagine that there's, you know, other discussions happening or that people are talking about sexuality. And I think one of the things that we have to remember is that at a young age, kids, like when we're talking about gender, they get it. So they get that people are different. When we're talking about gender diversity, we're talking about how somebody feels inside, what they like to wear and do. We're not talking about sexuality. It's adults. Like, kids aren't thinking about sexuality at that age. It's adults that think about that and put it into the conversation. So I think, you know, again, I think kids actually grasp the fact that people are different and that there's gender diversity. And by not talking about it and by not sharing accurate information, what we're actually doing is that we're not being neutral, or we're not, you know, just keeping kids unexposed. What we're doing is that we're sending a message that we have to be silent about this topic, and silence isn't neutral. Silence actually communicates that something isn't okay, that something isn't right, that something is so bad or shameful that we can't talk about it, and I don't think we want to communicate that to our young people.
And so what do you hope comes out of this controversy for Mount Horeb students and beyond?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think already the community, for the students and their families, I think they've already done something wonderful, which again is really showing up in support and really actively having conversations. I'm confident that people will actually talk about this, and it'll happen, and then the next day will happen and things will be fine. But what will happen is that students will better understand their classmates and be much more less likely to target her or other students who maybe don't conform to gender. Be less likely to target them with bullying and harassment, which I think is great. And I think as far as other communities in the Wisconsin area, I think what they see is that, you know, you actually can do this. The sky will not fall. And that, you know, if they get challenges, particularly from outside organizations, you know, threatening lawsuits, the reality is they can do it. They're going to be fine. And that it's, you know, the value of respect and teaching respect is stronger than any other opposition that they might encounter.
Brian, thank you very much for being with us.
You bet, Joy. Thanks.
Brian Jukums is the Senior Director of Education and Policy for GSAFE, a Wisconsin organization that works to create safe schools for LGBT youth. We will talk with a guest who is with the legal group that threatened the lawsuit against the Mount Horeb School District coming up in just a while. And then a little bit later on, we will talk with a guest psychiatrist to talk about what it means to be transgender. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, and this is our year-end membership drive. This is your radio station, listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And right now, during this drive, is your chance to make sure that we're set to start 2016 in good financial shape. You make the WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Bill Martins joins me with an update on how we're doing during the pledge drive.
Yeah, we're looking for 10 pledges in the next 35 minutes. So make your donation now. Support the programs you enjoy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
People who listen, you provide the most significant share of WPR's budget. Your donation helps WPR invest in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for the entire community. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This holiday season, let the impact of your pledge go beyond paying for great radio. It will also help people in need in your area. You can ask for food for $20 when you give $60 or food for $40 when you give $120. Your thank you gift will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you. So you can do two good things at once with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like Wisconsin Public Radio because the programming is excellent. I feel like being a listener and a contributor that it helps me be a little more in control of what's over the airwaves. Wisconsin Public Radio is important because all of us as a community are contributing and helping to make sure that we get balanced coverage on news and also a very positive listening environment. I find humor and I love the political discussion that covers both sides of the issues, and I think that's really important. I'm Amy Kocha from Green Bay, and I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this year-end membership drive. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins asking for your support of WPR. You decide how much to pledge. Pledge $10 a month or $15 a month, whatever amount is right for you.
You connect with Wisconsin Public Radio for information, great conversations, and entertainment. 9XM leadership gifts of $100 a month or more are critical in supporting that connection for you and others across the state.
Keep our connection strong to you and to all WPR listeners with a leadership gift of $100 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, here's a great gift idea for that hard-to-shop-for person on your list, and you don't even have to go to the mall and pinball your way through crowds at the store, a membership to WPR.
Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Let us know who the gift is for, and we will send them a letter telling them that they received a WPR gift membership from you.
It's a great way to support WPR, a local vendor with worldwide reach, and to get that holiday shopping out of the way without leaving your chair. Can't ask for anything more. So give the perfect gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Jennifer from Milwaukee, who says, WPR is a part of my daily life. I know I can count on you for reliable news and as a source of information and entertainment. Thank you. Well, Jennifer, thank you. Join Jennifer and many others with your support, your financial pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Bill. We'll talk to you a little bit later. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. About 600 people filled the Mount Horeb Public Library last week for a public reading of a children's book about a transgender girl. The reading was originally planned for a Mount Horeb elementary school, where a six-year-old has recently transitioned from a boy to a girl. The reading, though, was canceled when a Florida-based group threatened a lawsuit. We will talk with a guest from that group, and we will welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our next guest is Matthew Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council, a legal group dedicated to issues of religious freedom, the sanctity of life, and family. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
So why did the Liberty Council ask the district to stop the reading of I Am Jazz?
Well, we got a call from some concerned parents who received a note from the school on Friday that this reading of I Am Jazz was going to occur on Monday, and so they investigated as to what it was about. Actually, the letter from the school said that there was a six-year-old boy. I'm not sure if it actually indicated the age, but it was a young boy who was clearly a boy but thinks that he is a girl and has gone through these hormone-blocking medications, and therefore they wanted to read I Am Jazz to the entire elementary school. So the parents checked it out, contacted Liberty Council, expressing deep concern that their child and other children would be exposed to this with very little notice to the parents, and frankly that they were concerned about the contents of this, because what it does is it presents a boy, and it would be read to boys and girls as young as 5, 6, 7 years of age, first grade and on up, a story about someone who's literally getting hormone-blocking medication that literally blocks, in this case, the production of testosterone. And that itself is very significant. That has long-term consequences. And even those within the medical expertise that deal with this issue suggest that you shouldn't do this at such a young age. And to do it can actually be harmful long-term, because sometimes these feelings are fleeting. They're not long-term. And to then give someone medication to block the production of their particular hormones can be traumatic. So they raised the concern. We felt it was inappropriate, as they did. We then issued a letter to the school principal and to the school board. And to their credit, they agreed that, one, they didn't have the proper notice to the parents, but number two, they were going to take it off the table. Now, later on, of course, one of the co-authors read this book in a local public library, and that's the way it should be. If you want to read this, that's fine. That's freedom of speech. If parents want to take their children to this public library, that's fine, but you shouldn't subject an entire elementary school to reading a book that could confuse them, and frankly, that presents something as normal, which is not normal, and that indeed can be harmful.
Our last guest said that these parents who were concerned could have asked that their kids sit out of the reading. Why wasn't that an option rather than stopping the school from proceeding?
Well, think about it. You've got one student in the entire elementary school that's going through some issue, in this particular case, gender dysphoria. And as a result of that, you're going to subject the entire elementary school, as young as 5 years old, 6 years old, to the reading of a book that's frankly very controversial and is not well accepted within the medical condition, the medical community. In fact, psychiatrist Paul McHugh at Johns Hopkins University has very strong words against this kind of situation. In fact, Johns Hopkins University was the first in the country to do SRS, or sex reassignment surgery. They stopped doing it because they found, number one, that it didn't help the mental stress. Number two, some people regretted going through the surgery. They wanted to revert back. And it actually increased the rate of suicides in some of these individuals who had gone through the surgery and regretted having done so. So you don't, because of one person who has a condition or a stressor, subject the entire school population to a book and presenting it as normal. It's not normal, and frankly, can be harmful.
Well, the letter to the school district said that you thought that this interfered with with parents' rights to direct their children's moral education, and our last guest said that he thought it was a good moral or a good value to teach tolerance and understanding, and to make sure the kids in this elementary school would not potentially bully this child.
Well, it certainly is a good moral lesson to teach tolerance and understanding, and no one should be bullied in any school, elementary or otherwise, obviously, certainly in elementary. But in any case, no situation should subject somebody to bullying. We ought to be tolerant of one another because of our different views. But there are different ways to teach tolerance and respect, and that bullying is wrong, rather than take a specific situation, one that's very controversial even within the medical community, one that has long-term significant consequences physiologically and psychologically for adults, let alone young boys or girls at the age of 6 who have no real understanding of the consequences of taking these kinds of medications. You don't present that as a means to teach tolerance and that you shouldn't bully. There's clearly other ways to do that without presenting that as something that's normal, and it's not. And certainly this boy or girl, or any boy or girl in elementary school, ought to be respected, ought to have tolerance. No one should be bullied, but you can clearly teach that without presenting a specific kind of very controversial, very potentially harmful situation as normal and natural and good.
Joe in Madison is with us. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Yes, Joe, go ahead. You're on the air.
I thought Brian Hukums made an excellent presentation this morning. I'm a member and actually one of the founders of Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. And the big problem in today's society is the misunderstanding of transgenderism. I found it surprising and learned a lot about it, and we've had numerous parents come to us when their children were trying to tell their parents that they were not what they seemed to be. And
Joe, I need you to get to a point because your phone is cracking and it's really hard to hear you. Is there something that our guest right now can respond to?
Hello, can you hear me?
Well, Jo was going to go on, and because of the cracking on her telephone, I'm just going to say that she, with this group PFLAG, Jo says that they have dealt with transgender youth who have committed suicide. So I think she thought that the reading of this book was would prevent the potential suicides.
Yeah, I think there's ways to deal with that. Certainly that is a situation. However, there's also many situations, and this is exactly why Johns Hopkins University reversed course and said that they're not going to go down this road, because they found that whenever they did this with adults, where you go through hormone, not blocking, but hormone treatment of significant levels of the opposite birth sex. So if you're male, it's estrogen. If you're female, it's testosterone for a year. And then they go through the surgical procedures, the plastic surgery and other kinds of things and counseling. They found that even after doing that, the mental stress did not change significantly. There was no real benefit. And moreover, that they found a significantly high number of people that after they've gone through these radical surgeries, frankly, regretted it. I've met a number of individuals who have gone through the surgeries from male to female, female to male, and they've regretted it years later, and now they're trying to go back to the opposite way. So Johns Hopkins University was the first in the country to ever enter into this field, and when they, by their own experience and empirical data, found that it was not beneficial, in fact, that it even increased the rate of suicides among some of those who had transitioned, if you will, through these surgeries. And at the end of the day, you don't transition. You still are what your DNA is. It's hormone treatment that you have to take literally for the rest of your life. And if you stop taking that, you'll revert back to your other female or male general characteristics. So the fact of the matter is it did not lessen that traumatic potential for suicide, and that's why they stopped. To then, it's controversial even within adults who have gone through the growing up and the production of hormones and the different experiences and the uncertainties that they face through the growing up years, which that's natural to everyone. But it's even more controversial when you put it into the minor situation, especially at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age, because at that point in time, the research shows that even those that might have those kinds of feelings, thinking that they're a boy when they're a girl or they're a girl when they're a boy, that more often than not, those feelings are fleeting, that they're not long-term. So then, because someone has those, and you don't know whether it's long-term feeling that they're having or short-term feeling that they're having, but if it's short-term and you give them hormone-blocking medication, you have significant consequences on that young boy or young girl's life.
The school district said that it would revisit the I Am Jazz issue after discussing putting a policy in place to deal with these kinds of controversies, and that it would give more notice before any potential future reading. Will you attempt to block a potential future reading if there is more notice given?
Yes, we will. Yeah, notice was obviously an issue, but to read this, to read it, to teach bullying is one thing, to read this book is quite another. And how it ultimately played out, where you can have your freedom to go hear this or read this in the public library, is exactly how it ought to be. But you shouldn't take this kind of book at this level, I'm talking about 5, 6, 7-year-old students, and put it in an elementary school. It is exceptionally controversial, and there are significant and very strongly held medical opinions not to present or do this kind of hormone-blocking medication or this kind of approach at such a young level. So it's inappropriate at any time, no matter what kind of notice you have, at the elementary school level.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver, founder and chairman of the Liberty Council, a legal group dedicated to issues of religious freedom, the sanctity of life, and family. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll be back with another perspective in just a moment. This is the year-end membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins. You count on WPR for in-depth talk on issues that matter to you, and we count on you to keep these discussions going strong. So your gift right now makes a big difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for about 8 pledges in the next 15 minutes or so. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and count on every day. Your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes a difference.
Well, I hope that you are interested in this conversation about the I Am Jazz controversy. The Mount Horeb School District canceled a planned reading of the book I Am Jazz, which tells the story of a young transgender girl. We heard from a guest who was in support of the reading of this book. We just heard from a guest who threatened a lawsuit over the reading of this book in a public school. Now, coming up, we will have a third perspective, a psychiatrist who will talk with us about what it means to be transgender and how controversies like this might affect children. So you hear a wide variety of perspectives every day on the Ideas Network. Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202 800-282-2552.
Our monthly giving program is becoming more and more popular. In fact, we have more than 19,000 sustainers, and that pool is growing day by day.
Give it a try. We think you'll like it. Set up a monthly amount to come from your bank account or credit card, and then sit back and relax. It's easy to get started with a gift of $10 a month or whatever amount works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We don't charge you up front. You pay exactly what it's worth.
Oh, man, it's Pledge Drive again. I should change the station. They're not really talking to me. Someone else will pledge.
Don't change the station. Sarah, we are talking to you.
What?
Do you listen to WPR every day?
Yeah, every time I get into the car and every night when I cook dinner.
Do you rely on the news, information, entertainment that you get from WPR?
Of course I do. But you guys have people with more money who can make a big difference with their donation.
Actually, Sarah, you make a difference. Don't count yourself out. It's pledges from everyday listeners like you added together that make up the single biggest part of our budget.
Are you sure?
We are absolutely sure.
We're talking to you.
We really are talking to you. Don't make us come through the radio. Pledge now. Here's someone to tell you how.
I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and here's how you pledge during our year-end membership drive. You go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and then you say, I'd like to support this service. I would like to help pay for the programs that I value, and I would like to do two good things at once.
That's right. You can ask for food for $20 when you give $5 a month, or food for $40 when you give $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you to Kevin from Onalaska, who says, I am a stay-at-home dad, and I enjoy WPR programs every day. The programs help me stay connected with the outside world and are informative and well done. And the weekend programs are very entertaining. Thank you, Kevin, so much for your pledge. Won't you please join him and support a service that needs your support. Any amount makes you a member of Wisconsin Public Radio and is needed and appreciated. You decide. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Bill. We'll talk to you at the end of the hour. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We have heard from two guests who had different perspectives over whether the Mount Horeb School District, a primary school or an elementary school, should have allowed a reading of a book which tells the story of a young transgender girl. The Mount Horeb School District ended up canceling that planned reading because of a threatened lawsuit from a conservative Florida-based group. However, the public library, the Mount Horeb Public Library, held a reading of the book instead, and some 600 people packed the library last week. So what are your questions about what it means to be transgender? How might controversies like this affect school children? We now get another guest's perspective, Dr. Sharon Hirsch. She is a psychiatrist and section leader for the UW Health Pediatric and Adolescent Psychiatry Program. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dr. Hirsch, good morning.
Good morning.
I appreciate your time. So what we've heard from two guests, so one who said that this would have been fine and a good thing for a school to do, especially a school that has a child who was transitioning, apparently a little boy who was transitioning to be a little girl. What does it mean for a person to be transgender?
Well, what we're talking about here is your gender identity, which really comes in very early in life. It's around that time when people understand who they are, what their difference is between boys and girls. And so people who feel that they're born into the wrong body, we say are gender dysphoric. They are born into the body of a boy, but they really don't associate being a boy with being a boy at all. They really feel that they're a girl, and they identify with girls. They want to look like a girl. talk like a girl, have girlfriends growing up through elementary school. It's a really difficult path that I don't think anyone would choose to follow, and certainly creates a lot of distress in the family as the families struggle to understand what's going on with their child.
Well, our last guest said multiple times that this is often a fleeting feeling. Is that the case?
No, it's not. This is not what we're talking about with a normal kind of exploration with different sex toys or playing, you know, having one friend of another gender. This is something that's long-lasting and persistent, and we certainly don't treat people who have a fleeting desire to be of the opposite sex or play of the opposite sex. And it's not a tomboy. I think a lot of times girls who play sports or dress in pants and not frilly dresses get labeled as tomboys. And this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about a deep-seated feeling that I've been born into the wrong body and that I am not my normal, natural, genetic sex. And I've got to change or something's not going to be right.
And do five-year-olds have these feelings?
Five-year-olds can have these feelings. They can be younger. You know, it's very difficult for younger children to express that because they simply don't have the language capability.
Yeah. What makes a person feel this way? Is there a known cause, biological cause for this?
You know, the brain is a very complicated part of our body, and we really don't understand a lot of the parts of it. And we know that it may have been influenced by, you know, hormones in the womb or other things, but we really can't sit down at this point in time and identify one specific thing that happened. And no parent should feel that they've done anything to cause this. It's just something that happens.
Yeah. Michelle emails, the child would never have been given hormone blockers at that age because they have not neared puberty when those hormone levels begin to rise. The effects of hormone blockers are also completely reversible. I'm not sure exactly medically what was how this a child was being treated. I the last guest said that the child had been treated with hormones. Do you know about this?
I am not privy to that person's medical treatment, and I doubt very seriously that the last caller was, because that's protected by HIPAA, as we all know. So generally what happens with children this age is that they are allowed to dress and act as the opposite sex. No one would even know that they were of their born gender or genetic sex unless they actually, you know, tested them or looked at their private parts. And so they would be brought up as the opposite sex to which they feel that they identify with their gender.
Joseph on Facebook says, I live in Dodgeville. I went to the reading with my five-year-old, and it was a great catalyst for discussing differences and acceptance. And after hearing the story, I am Jazz, he doesn't think he's transgender, so there's that. Reaction to that?
You know, this is not a story that's going to change anybody into someone that's transgendered or gender dysphoric. It's just like when we read books about witches or we read books about fantasy or, you know, the old King Arthur's court. We don't change into those beings. Those are fictional, but this is a real story, but we don't change into the biographies that we read either. So this isn't going to change anyone. It is a great catalyst for discussion.
Well, and as someone who works with children and young people, how do you think a reading of the book like I Am Jazz would have affected students in this elementary school?
So I always am a proponent of education. I think that we become prejudiced when we don't understand things, and we have to have that catalyst. People are not always going to agree, but it gives us a chance for a fair and open dialogue and understanding. It prevents bullying. It prevents being ostracized because we don't understand what's going on. And I think it's a great thing to do in schools. It's unfortunate that politics is getting in the way of this. It has, as your first guest said, nothing to do with sexuality or having sex, which is what, as adults, I think sometimes we associate with this, but it's about who we feel like we are. What is our identity? And people need to be able to express that freely in order to grow up and reach their potential.
Laura in Madison is with us. Hi, Laura.
Yes, I wanted to make the point that I think has just been made, and that is that this book, I Am Jazz, does not promote transsexuality. It doesn't speak at all about hormones, which is something that your last guest seemed to dwell on quite a bit. It doesn't talk about any of these things. It's written at a great school, a primary grade level, and it talks mostly about feelings and does exactly what the person was talking about trying to prevent bullying, trying to promote acceptance, if anything else. That's the point it tries to get across. And so I think if people would look at this book and then try to get a sense for why this is so earth-shaking, what is the fear that people seem to have about this, I think that maybe that would help adults to understand a little more about the whole situation.
Well, Dr. Hirsch, do you understand the fear that some adults have over this?
Again, I think we fear what we don't understand, and that is the whole point of a reading like this, and I thank you for doing this show because it provides education. You know, we need to allow children to grow up to reach, to be happy and mentally healthy. And without this kind of protection, people who are gender dysphoric simply won't be able to reach their full potential because they'll be battling the stigma and bullying and constant just controversy in their lives.
Yeah, you told my producer that one of the reasons transgender issues can be so controversial is because people confuse gender with sexuality. Why is this an important distinction?
Well, I think that it's your identity, who you are. It's not who you're having sex with, and these children are not, as your previous speaker said, or the first speaker said, they're not having sex. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about who they are and who they feel they are internally.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Hirsch, for being with us, and I want to also thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. I understand you are already a member, and we appreciate it.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Dr. Sharon Hirsch, a psychiatrist and section leader for the UW Health Pediatric and Adolescent Psychiatry Program. And now Bill Martins is here to light a fire under you because we have eight more pledges to go to reach our goal in just a couple of more minutes to make those eight pledges. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, on this program, you hear policymakers and politicos answer questions on a wide variety of state, national, and international topics. Every Friday, we take a look back on the news of the week during the Week in Review. And, of course, on Tuesdays, you know, we talk with Kevin McKinley about financial matters, and we'll talk to Kevin at 8 o'clock. We cover a lot of ground every week, and you're a big part of that as a listener, as a caller, and a contributor. Support this valuable source of information and access to great guests with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, during this year-end membership drive, we have a special thank you gift.
During this year-end membership drive, we do have a special thank you gift for you. You can ask for the food for $20 when you give $60 or food for $40 when you give $120.
Better yet, break those amounts up into monthly sustaining gifts of $5 a month or $10 a month. Your thank you gift will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you. Get started now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Derek from Presque Isle, who says, I listen daily to WPR, especially while driving. driving, and I have become hooked. Well, it's a good addiction, Derek, and thank you so much for feeding that addiction with your pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make a pledge of any amount that works for you to support the programs that you value.
We've got about a minute and change left to reach that goal. We're looking for eight more of you to make that pledge. All we need is eight of you, just eight. Go ahead to your computer right now and make that pledge at WPR.org or make the phone call 888-202-2552 and support Wisconsin Public Radio so we can continue to bring you conversations like this one.
Where you hear multiple sides, different guests, different perspectives on important issues of the day. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.